Next week, Mike Crenshaw will be your host. Have a great week.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in on Thursday, August 30th at 8 p.m. to celebrate the Native programmers and the Native community of KBOO as part of our 50th anniversary. Jack Malmstrom of Rose City Native Radio will host this special on-air program. You can join us at the Native Community Open House here at KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue from 7 to 10 p.m. on August 30th. More information about the Native Community Open House and the anniversary programming can be found at kboo.fm.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society's new concert season, which starts September 21st of this year and runs through May of 2019, all staged at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland. The Portland Folk Music Society is pleased to present a lineup of national and regional artists, including Molly O'Brien and Rich Moore, the Kathy Kallick Band, the Honey Whiskey Trio, Legends of the Celtic Harp with Patrick Ball, True North, Tish Hinojosa, Pat Donahue, Nina Gerber and Chris Webster, and Dave Stamey. And for the first time, the Portland Folk Music Society is offering season ticket packages at prices below single show rates, either online or at the door. For more information, go to the website kboo.fm and look on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It is 6:01, and coming up, we have a rebroadcast of Say It Out Loud with T6.
We just want to party.
Slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah. Yeah, I'm so dull like, yeah.
Welcome to Say It Loud. I am in studio live at the, you know, famous KBOO. In studio with me, I have the one, the only Mr. Leon McCoy. Please say hello, Mr. Leon.
Hello, my brother, hello.
Alrighty, so of course, I am your host with the most, Mr. T6 the One. This is a new program called Say It Loud. Actually, it's a, you know, a spin-off of a former show that was on air the same time that I hosted with Belinda Giles, the Amazon Queen, who's currently out in Atlanta doing great things. So the former show was called What's Life Without Laughter, and we focused on, you know, a lot of things comical, you know, but we tried to stay on the serious topics as well, but we put a funny twist to it. But I decided that was cool, but with all the things that's going on, you know, we probably could find something more to say and use our voices to you know, Leon, to just, you know, use our voices in, you know, of course we're comics, so we're still going to make people laugh.
But right.
Use our, you know, but use our voice to, you know, encourage, educate,
absolutely,
uplift, you know, the community,
absolutely,
the people, you know, not everything is funny, you
this
know,
is
of
true,
course, what's life without laughter, but, you know, I've changed over the years, my ideals have changed and the way I think, so,
absolutely,
we changed the show and we changed it up a little bit, of course, while we have a prestige man like yourself here, you know, we're gonna kick it off with, you know, something, of course it's gonna be positive, and of course you're gonna probably laugh at me. You already know, so, but of course, so thank you again for tuning in on the wonderful K-Boo and listening to this new episode of Say It Loud. So I'm gonna get right into it. I have in stage with Leon in studio, Mr. Leon McCoy. So Leon, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you? Where you from? Of course,
okay.
I told them your name,
okay,
and how long you've been in Oregon.
Okay. So originally, I'm from Los Angeles, born and raised there, and I've been living in Portland off and on for at least 22 years now.
Oh, okay. So you can say you Portland. You
I may
Portland
as well say.
Yeah,
I spend as much time here in Portland as I have in Los Angeles.
So
easily.
50%.
Yeah,
I
right.
Know, okay.
So I'm a Portlander by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know. You earned it.
Yeah, every bit of it, my brother. Yeah. Every bit of it. Yeah. Trust me.
I know. After being here 5 years, I'm sure you have earned it.
Right.
So go ahead.
So my first book was entitled False Images,
mm-hmm,
and I released that while I was here in Oregon, and it was received really well.
Uh-huh.
The book was really transparent. I use a narrative style of writing, which means that I generally tell my life experiences.
Of course.
And I present it in a way that's transparent. The goal in this being that the reader, the audience, can use my work as a mirror to
mm-hmm
see themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm transparent because I believe that we have to respect one another and meet one another where we are. And there are so many individuals around the world who are suffering needlessly because they feel like they have experienced something that's too shameful to discuss.
Agreed.
Or no one has ever,
agreed,
ever possibly experienced this.
Agreed. And I would like to say, especially in the African-American
truly,
community.
Truly,
you
truly,
know, so.
Truly. Issues such as mental health,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
sexuality,
mm-hmm,
whether or not a person has been incarcerated,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm,
if they've been on probation, or
mm-hmm,
just we
status,
you know,
yeah. Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of that going on. So I really try to be transparent in my work to let the reader know. Listen, I've been there, and if I can make it, you can make it too.
Yeah.
And until you can hold your head up, I'll hold my head up for you.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
take my hand and let's trudge together.
Uh-huh.
We can make it through this.
Yeah. Uh huh. You know, ever since I've been known Leon about 2 years now, and ever since I met him, his message been so spot on, so right on. And when you meet somebody with a connection like that and a message like that, you know, that's
right,
how friendships
right
connect. You know, 2 years later, here we are. So
yeah, the hardest working man in show business sitting across from me right now. This is a hard working man, people.
You know, I try. You know, I try to fight off all those stereotypes,
right,
and all those things you just mentioned. You
right
know,
right,
especially the fear, because
right
I realize,
oh
you know,
God,
at this stage of me now, fear has probably
right
held me back from so many
absolutely
things, you know.
You're not alone, brother.
I know.
You are
so
not alone.
So, of course, that was your first book, and we're going to talk a little bit more about your second book. But so you told us what it is that you inspired you to write the book. You know, without getting too personal into your life, you know, just
mm-hmm
some of the maybe things that you've been through,
okay,
that, you know, led you to this or the day you decided, you know what,
mm-hmm,
I have something to share, you know, or something you've overcome, because, you know, in the last, I know I just overcame a lot in the last
mm-hmm
2 years, things I didn't even
mm-hmm
think I could overcome, so.
Man, it would be my good privilege and honor. I wrote the book. What inspired me to write the book is I was dying.
Oh, okay.
I was dying spiritually and
okay
mentally.
That's
I was in an active addiction to crack cocaine.
Oh, okay.
And that
you wouldn't know it from looking at you.
Man, I don't look
it
like what I've been through.
I know.
Brother.
That nice to chic. I mean, you look nice.
Man, don't look like what I've been through. But I had an issue with that, and
mm-hmm
I had an issue with mental health.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had
which leads to addiction.
Which leads to addictions.
You know, because that's the only out we know.
Exactly.
Especially as an African American man. You
exactly
know.
And that shame.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That fear.
Mm-hmm.
I had been molested as a child.
Mm-hmm. See.
Repeatedly,
yeah,
and until I could defend myself, probably at the age of 15. It continued.
Yeah.
But I had internalized a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of the times when we experience trauma,
mm-hmm,
we we allow that trauma to become our identity.
And we abuse ourselves.
And we abuse ourselves as a result. Because what was it about me? Mm-hmm, there must be something wrong with me. And so I had a really difficult time. But to answer the question, that's what prompted me to write the first book. I was at a place where I could not go any further. And I believe that the creator of all, gave me a gift for writing, for words, and in a good part to allow me to get free. It was like lancing a boil and letting all the pus run out. I was just moved to a computer. Just moved to a computer.
It's like you open up and just let it out.
Just let it out for days, bro. I literally sat there and just allowed my hands to move across the keyboard. I had no preconceived notions. I just opened up and allowed it to come out. And when it was done, I felt new life. I felt relieved. It was therapy for me.
I was just about to say that it was therapy because you let it go.
Yes.
You know, and I'm at a stage in life right now, and you know, I was just, you know, doing some meditating, and I was thinking, you just gotta let some stuff go.
Gotta let it go.
Because we get into a place to where we're holding on to stuff that happens, and you know, it's only affecting us today.
Exactly.
You know, and being, you know, in a if not noticeable, me and Leon, we're both African American males. So coming from an African American community, and I come from the deep South, where everything is hush up, sweep it under the rug, fix your collar, and go on about your business. Child molestation. It didn't matter. Everything was a secret. Every family had a secret, and the secrets get passed on. And what happened when none of those secrets are exposed? Those predators keep going on from generation to generation.
Exactly. And it festers in the person that has experienced the trauma.
It does.
It festers. And it also takes away one's voice.
It does.
One begins to feel like, I don't have a voice. I don't matter. Hence the song, To Be Invisible.
Or here's an excuse or reason for me to find something that's going to make me feel good. A drug.
Self-medication.
You know, and which we all know that's just the beginning of a spiral downfall. But what's so funny is growing up in Alabama, I never seen a psychiatrist building ads. No one ever talked about it. Mental health. You know, people wrote it off as if it was something
taboo.
Yeah.
If you can make it through them slave fields, you don't have nothing that you can't make it through.
Boy, shut up and stop crying. That was the mentality in Alabama. Speaking of that, which one of the reasons why I fell heavily in love with Kate Boo when I walked through the door, because I walked through the door and I can say I was blind, because I grew up in the South. I was blind. I had been raised to think a certain way. I had been trained. My grandmother mentality was,
now you're getting there, baby. Let's go.
My grandma mentality was, shut up. Be quiet. Don't tick off the white man. Or you're going to go to jail, and you ain't going to be nothing like your daddy.
Domesticated.
Indoctrinated and domesticated. And I grew up with that mentality, and I always felt like I had to play nice, smile, hide my culture just to fit in. And like, as you see now, I'm starting to grow my hair into dreadlocks. I wanted to do it years, but I always felt like the industry I'm in, if I wanted a job, if I wanted I would have to do A, B, C, and this, put on that collar shirt and
cut
your hair. But that's how I was raised for 20 years. And when I came into this wonderful, magnificent, you know, I just can't call it a radio station because it's more than that, because it really opened my eyes. And I'm going to give you an example. Prior to coming into this building right here, KBOO, I had never college educated, former military, Hawaii, Germany, lived around the world. I had never heard of the word white privilege. It had never crossed my ears until I was listening to KBOO and I'm hearing the definition. And it was like I was awakened. And then I went back to work the next day and I just recognized all the
white. Everything was different.
And I was working at Intel. So again, I was the only black guy in the department. And from that day on, I never felt really the same, because I felt like I was putting up a facade to fit in.
Right.
You know.
And many of us do. We're schizophrenic that way.
I know. And I didn't even realize it. I thought that was just normal. I have a great job at Intel. I am. Right. I did.
Right.
And then all along, I had lost my identity.
Right.
I was afraid to be black. I was exactly. afraid to be myself.
Say and that. That's real. That's
so
honest.
So one of the reasons why I love this book, because as reading the first one, you know, I can connect
right.
and like I ain't the only one
right.
going through that. You
You're
know,
right.
I'm not the only black guy. People have no idea. Like, it's really tough being a black guy because, for instance, today at the grocery store, I said, I will not smile at another person of non-color walking towards me in the grocery store. It's almost like good Christian because I'm from the South and we're high.
Right.
Hello, and
right.
you see people's in the aisle as
right.
you pass in a safe way, and you just smile.
Right.
And, you know, after just so many dirty looks, and
right.
like
they don't,
I
generally
didn't,
don't smile back, right here.
Or I didn't exist, or one guy looked at me with the disgust, like, "Why are you smiling
right.
at me?" And then saying hi, and
right.
you know, it's sad when one have to say, "Just stop speaking to people." Right.
And this is 2018.
And this is 2018.
I understand you. I understand.
I know, but you know, with everything going on in the world, that's why we need people like you to keep us educated,
Amen.
To keep us on our toes, to let us know that don't have to be like that. You don't have to go with the farm. It's okay
right.
to be black. It's okay
right.
to eat fried chicken
right.
at
right.
the lunchroom
right.
with all your white coworkers because that's your leftover dinner from last night.
Exactly.
Until I probably would have never did such things. Like if I had my mom cook fried chicken, turnip greens, cornbread, macaroni and cheese.
You're making me hungry.
I know. and now as I'm getting older, almost approaching 40, and I'm thinking about how much I've been robbed as a black man, as a culture, because I'm expected to fit in. I'm expected to be nice because I'm already labeled aggressive.
Right.
So I'm ex-
right.
you know.
I got you.
But
I had to give myself permission as well. I had to give myself permission to love myself. I had to give myself permission to support my own culture, to have my own say in my own life, to define my own reality.
Yeah, I know. It's point of time you have to, you know, just accept. Right. Everybody should be allowed to be them.
Right.
Everybody should be allowed to experience their culture, their background, their choice of gender, their, you know, just
right.
and coming to Portland really liberated me, really opened my eyes to because you know I'm from the deep South,
right.
so everything's down there illegal, you know, even bingo. They're playing bingo.
Man.
Let's lock them up. Okay, you know, Leon, you know, we're gonna take a quick break, really quick, and when we come back, we're gonna get into his new book, The False Alchemy 2.
So dull like, yeah. Woo. We gon' blow like, yeah. This is America. Woo. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't catch you slipping now.
Hey.
Don't catch you slipping now.
Hey.
Look what I'm whipping
hey.
Up. Look how I'm geeking up.
Hey.
I'm so pretty. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on get it. Watch me move. This is Sally. That's a tool.
Yeah.
On my Kodak.
Black.
Ooh, know that.
Contraband.
I got the plug on who a hawker.
Whoa.
They gonna find you like Paco. Blow.
Ooh, America. I just checked my following. Listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
Back to Say It Loud. I hope you guys are enjoying this segment with me and the awesome Leon McCoy. So, Leon, we're going to go ahead and jump into the second book, even though, as we was talking during the break, you know, we basically, he said it's interesting in the questions and the way the conversation led, because it's basically what the book is about, that suppression, that people are afraid to being themselves. So, False Alchemy 2, so we know it's coming out in December,
correct?
It's coming out in December, so you guys make sure he'll be back to talk about it. He may even be the new co-host, because I'm really feeling this vibe right here. You know, and you know when you find a match, you know, you don't be wanting to let it go. So it was hard to replace Belinda. So I don't know, though. I may found her match. So.
Hey, now, be easy now.
Yeah, you know, we love you, Belinda, down there in ATL. Make sure y'all check her out on all the social media sites and see what she's been up to. So, yes, False Alchemy.
False Images. So a false image.
False Images.
So a false image, first of all, it can be a limiting thought. It can be an untrue statement. It could be a lie. Mm-hmm. But these things can be agreed to as truth, mm-hmm. and can begin to act as a law in mm-hmm. a person's life. Mm-hmm. For example, we discussed before the commercial break how our thinking was formulated by traditionalism and by indoctrination. Mm-hmm. We were taught to be subservient. We mm-hmm. were taught how to make ourselves appear smaller so mm-hmm. that we don't seem aggressive mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we're labeled aggressive. Mm-hmm. So we had to become sort of schizophrenic in that way mm-hmm. in order to move in and out mm-hmm. of mainstream America in our communities at home. Or to even be successful. Mm-hmm. We felt like we had to compromise, like we had to be disingenuous mm-hmm. and untrue to mm-hmm. ourselves. Mm-hmm. That coupled with, say, religion, mm-hmm. False teachings and, yeah. and things of that nature. And now that's a whole nother show.
Especially in the South. I mean, right. so much religion is one of the worst enemies for right. black men in
exactly.
the South.
Not just the South, all over the world.
You know, all over the world, you're right. But I speak specifically just about the South because that's what I know of. And
keep going. So, just touching on that, I'll just give a brief example. There is an ancient African story about Heru and Asar and Aset. This was the first depiction of divinity and family on this earth. Mm-hmm. It's ancient and it's African. But we understood that that was not a literal family. They referred to different aspects of human potential. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. However, that image was taken and it became the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is what Christianity preaches unto this day. Mm-hmm. And that's generally how the majority of the religions on the earth, including Judaism and Islam mm-hmm. and Christianity, unfolded. Mm-hmm. That's just that. And we can talk about that on another show, but mm-hmm. you might want to go
out. I'm sure it's a lot of hosts. Right. At KBOO, probably would love to have you to come on some of their programs. And because, you know, KBOO have so many programs that cover A through Z, just like Zinc. We got it all here. There's no need for y'all to listen to nothing else. We have it all here, like Central, A through Zinc. But yeah, I'm sure they may love to have you on the guests. But continue on.
So that's the false image part of the book. The alchemy of life comes from the ancient Kemetic science of alchemy, from which we get modern day chemistry. Mm-hmm. It had to do with the transmutation of lower properties into higher properties. Mm-hmm. The example that the audience may be familiar with is the changing of lead to metal. Mm-hmm. But that's not originally the function of alchemy. The function of alchemy was to help the individual to raise from a lower level of being and thinking mm-hmm. to actually achieve that Christ consciousness, yeah. that chakra, that crown, mm-hmm. that glory, gotcha. So that we could live and move at our highest potential. Mm-hmm. So the book is about how to address these false images that have been agreed to as truth and that create a sort of atmosphere from which a person is not able to escape. Mm-hmm. How do we transmute that? Yeah. What does that look like? Right. And so one of the ways that has worked for me was I had to realize that I have, and most of us, if not all of us, have inside of us what's called an ego, mm-hmm. E-G-O. Mm-hmm. And I had to really realize that my ego was having a party at my expense.
Amen.
And I thought that, you know, well, yeah, I've got this education and my mental faculties seem to work, so surely I must be doing what's appropriate. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But then I realized one day that even though I said I was not going to allow myself to be provoked, I was provoked. Mm-hmm. And it was because my ego had gotten me, my divine parts, mm-hmm. my authentic part, to believe that it was myself.
Yeah.
When it was just a mental image that was
given to you by society. Constructed.
Yeah. Or even from within, our experiences, our experiences in life.
Deep. Right. I got you just connected.
You know what I'm saying?
You right.
That, and it makes us believe that that's us, mm-hmm. and it takes over. But there's a way to actually sit behind that, to get behind it and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it move, watch it unfold. And it began, once I began that process, I began to see that there were times that I would feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel sad,
mm-hmm.
whether it was because it was the end of a relationship or mm-hmm. a past occurrence. Mm-hmm. For some reason, my mind wanted to feed on that.
Yeah.
And I realized that my mind wanted to be an entity of itself.
Yeah.
And it was keeping my divine part a slave.
Wow.
I had to look at that.
Wow.
And so what did I find to do? I found that when I centered myself in right now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and what is called like the ever unfolding now,
mm-hmm.
that when I occupy that space fully, when I bless it, when I'm grateful for my life, for the day, for when I'm grateful for being provided for, that mm-hmm. there's no lack. Right now in this moment, I'm lacking nothing. Right now in this moment, I'm lacking nothing. I have no problem. I have no issue. I'm
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm good. But guess what? Each moment can be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was when I'm feeling a certain kind of way that is not beneficial to me,
mm-hmm.
it's because I'm dealing with something in the past
mm-hmm.
or I'm trying to project into the future.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which don't even exist.
That was like spot on.
Man, and they don't even really exist. This is this concept of linear time. But I had the privilege to sit at the feet of some elders. One of them was a Zulu. And he told me, brother, always remember that the original mind didn't just move linearly.
Mm-hmm.
It moved up, down, side to side, and back to forth.
Mm-hmm.
This concept that we have now, linear time, doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the way he was explaining to me how society unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to have to get locked in to this linear concept of time, which is important. We have to be to work at a certain time.
Of course.
But truly, what we have is just right now. Right now will become what was.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we will walk into now, and it would be conceived as a future. But really, it's just right now.
Yeah.
It's just right now.
Yeah. If you knew how much I beat myself up worrying about tomorrow, next year, next month.
Man.
Oh, wow. I mean, this has been like, you know, even though I haven't, of course, I haven't read the second book yet, but if it's in...
It's incredible.
I can tell, man, because... it just opened my eyes in a couple minutes. Like, yes, live for the now. Are you happy now?
Exactly.
Are you well taken care of now? Are you happy now? You know, I'm a little crazy. I could see a commercial about cancer. I'll start worrying about it. You know, it's not even affecting me to this day. And for the next hour or so, I'll think about, oh, you shouldn't smoke cigarettes.
Even though
I know I shouldn't, and I'm conscious aware of that, what it could be, but I've gotten to the point that I just let everything take over that now happiness as you talk about. So.
And it's not just you, brother. A lot of us surrender our very happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of us surrender our very happiness to some concept of future or past.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away also our power. What I find is when I fully occupy the now,
mm-hmm.
when I am completely aware that there is no deficiency in my life whatsoever, what I generally get is the next moment tends to reflect that.
Wow.
And the next day tends to reflect that. Because why? They're a constant unfolding now.
Wow.
And I've occupied that space. I've marshaled it and I've patrolled it. So what can unfold but more of that same?
Wow, you guys.
This has been revolutionary to my life.
Wow, wow.
Revolutionary to my life.
Wow. I can't hardly wait to December, you guys. I cannot hardly wait. What a show. What a show. It was, you know, way to kick off the first episode of Say It Loud. You know, it's like almost over, you know.
My gosh.
I know, but my friend, you gave out so much information to the viewers and to the listeners. So what I want you to do right now, of course, his name is Lil McCoy, but tell them where they can find you if they want you on their program, booking engagements, speaking engagements, to keep up with you and the book really quick.
I can be reached at 503-758-0376. I'm on Facebook. I'm also at falseimages.com. My nonprofit is the empowermentproject.org.
You can
wish
reach me.
That we didn't even get a chance. Wish we didn't to talk get about. To,
which is
You'll
fine.
Be back next show.
Okay.
We'll talk about the Empowerment Project, which that's how I met you on.
All right. That's one.
All right, you guys. Thank you. That is our show with Mr. Leon McCoy. I am T6, and this is the end of Say It Loud. Be blessed. Enjoy. K-Boo, we love you. We're out.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6:29, and next is indeed going to be Free Culture Radio. Stay tuned.
Timothy Leary lives. No, he's outside looking in. Timothy Leary lives. No,
produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the ineluctable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, these problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. On this edition of Free Culture Radio, we talk about World War D, the battle against the drug war. Our guest today is Michael Kravitz. Mike is a veteran of the U.S. Air Force. He has a service-related disability. He's a medical cannabis patient, an advocate and organizer both for veterans and for medical cannabis patients. And he's a good friend and longtime drug policy reform colleague of mine. Mike, you have so much stuff going on. It's just a question of where to begin. Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, tell me... Tell it a little bit about the organization, a little background, and tell us some about